Coming up on KUCB News, the DOC has proposed a work release program in Unalaska, and tonight is USAFE's annual Make a Difference Dinner. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, September 27th, 2018. This winter, Unalaska's seafood plants could host a handful of prison inmates. That's if the community joins a work release program run by the State Department of Corrections. DOC Commissioner Dean Williams proposed the idea to the City Council this week, citing interest from at least one local processor, which he declined to name. Williams says he's looking to start with four or five inmates who would go through a thorough vetting and selection process. If approved, they'd work at a plant and live at a bunkhouse, all under strict rules and electronic surveillance.
We're going to be picking people whose behavior behind the walls has been exemplary, people who we've provided training to, you know, carpentry and HVAC and refrigeration and welding. I mean, companies would love to have these guys.
In return, Williams says the inmates would find purpose, develop skills, and transition back into society. His goal is to chip away at Alaska's high rate of recidivism, which he calls unacceptable.
My department releases 12,000 sentenced people every year. The problem is that 4,000 of them end up back in prison within the first 6 months because they don't have a job and don't have a place to live. You just can't cut the cord.
Williams says the program is already succeeding in Kenai and Cordova, where more than 20 inmates have worked at Pacific Star and Trident Seafoods. A few were returned to prison for drug offenses, but he says most have become reliable workers. In Unalaska, Williams' proposal met with a mix of reservations and open minds. During a two-hour discussion on Tuesday, Unalaskans raised concerns about how local police would be affected, whether the island has sufficient addiction and behavioral health services, and whether sex offenders would be allowed to participate. Here's City Councilor Roger Rowland.
I've always considered this a safe community. My daughters were out by themselves at night, leaving their workplace, whatever. And that's probably my biggest concern. I don't want this to no longer be a safe community and for young people and for young girls.
Meanwhile, Rochelle Hatfield supported what she described as a much-needed program. Hatfield works in adult education and training at the Aleutian Pribilof Center, run by the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
These are our families, and we owe them the right and give them an opportunity to have a better future, so that we can all have a better future.
Mayor Frank Kelty said Unalaska will hold another community meeting on the issue after Commissioner Williams confirms interest with local processors and the Trident plant in Acatan for the upcoming A season. With local backing, Williams says the program would lead to more state financial support for Unalaska's police. He also says the community would be free to drop the program at any time. Unalaska's municipal election is 5 days away, and to help prepare voters before they head to the polls, KUCB is sharing selections from last week's candidates forum. Today we'll hear from Sherry Coleman, who's running for City Council seat G. During the forum, Coleman spoke to Unalaska's economic dependence on fisheries, which face challenges including uncertain stocks, declining tax revenue, and a national trade dispute with China.
The North Pacific fisheries is the best managed fisheries in the world. But when you have a city that depends on a natural resource, you're going to have to expect a cyclical change in stocks. There's lots going into talk now with the depleting stocks that we're having. I mean, they're not even talking maybe red king crab too. So, you know, you there's other things to consider, you know, climate change and stuff. You know, is it just fishing or is there other, you know, things involved here? So, but I think the question here is that how can we as a city and council be prepared for it? And that's a great question because you don't know what's going to happen because they set these every year and they do surveys. So you really don't know. I mean, it's not even like gold and you can sit there and go, we got this much left in the ground. Okay, so what I think we need to do is, and we do a pretty good job of it, is planning, but then planning for a period of bust. It's like, okay, how much do we have in our coffers or how much do we have in our savings or how to be able to pay the bills for this certain amount of time to try to get us through? You know what? If this thing just totally goes bust, I mean, so much savings only going to last for so long, and you just have to make change totally the way you look at things. But to see us through these down periods, you really have to, like, look at how much we have, where's our spending going, and sometimes you have to say, this project's just not going forward.
That was Councillor Sherry Coleman speaking during last week's Candidates Forum, where she also discussed Unalaska's potential for greater tourism and her opposition to restructuring the Department of Public Safety. KUCB is re-airing the entire forum on Saturday and Sunday. You can catch each rebroadcast on Channel 8 TV at 8 p.m. Again, Coleman is running for re-election for City Council seat G, and on Monday, we'll hear from school board candidate Carlos Tayag. This week, in recognition of National Suicide Prevention Month, we've been airing a series from our colleagues at KYUK Public Radio in Bethel. In the final installment today, we'll hear why Village Police Officer Anna Bill reluctantly quit her job in Mountain Village, where she has helped to save dozens of lives. KYUK's Teresa Katsourilis has more.
Anna Bill became a cop in Mountain Village, population 850, because she felt that God wanted her to help her neighbors. In her short time as a village police officer, between 5 and 7% of Mountain Village residents tried to kill themselves. Anna helped save them all.
I was dispatching police phones 24/7 for the last 8 months. It is very exhausting.
She responded to active shooter situations, broke up assaults, and was attacked several times herself. Anna responded to many of these calls alone. She resigned last August after 8.5 months on the job.
I could finally breathe, but at the same time, I'm going to really miss what I did because I was really good at it.
Anna loved her job. The community supported her, and as a survivor of a suicide attempt herself, it was satisfying to help so many other people. But Alaska's village police officers are expected to arrest their own friends and family without adequate support for very little pay, and it became an impossible job for Anna to do. In order to understand why Anna left, you need to know about the people she didn't save. Last April, Anna received a call about a shooting.
We entered a residence and I was kind of in shock.
The victim was 18, a little older than Anna's son Raymond. He was a good student, only weeks away from graduating high school. Anna assumed he'd died from suicide. It was the first one she hadn't helped stop.
It's always hard when somebody tries to take their life before their time is over because, you know, they're robbing themselves of their potential of why they're here.
Anna's partner at the time, VPO John Hunter, stayed inside the house with the body. Anna sat on the steps with a friend and waited for the Alaska State Troopers to arrive. They're called whenever there's a death in the community. The troopers examined the victim's body, and Anna noticed that they were being more meticulous than usual. She said it became clear that the victim hadn't died from suicide. Someone had killed him, and the troopers wanted Anna's help.
They were asking who was all involved. Like, what do I know?
Anna wasn't trained for this. Like many village and tribal police officers, she'd never received any police training. The troopers mobilized a team to investigate the homicide. They flew in from Palmer, Fairbanks, and Soldotna and spent hours questioning teenagers in Mountain Village. One of them was Anna's son, Raymond. A few days into the investigation, Anna was contacted by a close friend who said she suspected that Raymond knew something about the murder. And Anna thought that he might, too.
I know his looks, and I know when he's hiding something from me. And I called Todd, and Trooper Morning and informed him, you know, I think you might want to talk to my son again.
She drove Raymond to the police station herself.
As his mother, I wanted him to tell me everything. But as a police officer, I couldn't, because I am not professionally trained enough to handle situations like this.
Anna wanted to go into the interrogation with Raymond, but he was 16, and in Alaska, that's old enough to be questioned without a parent present. He asked Anna to wait outside and went into the room alone, without his mother or an attorney. Anna waited for a long time.
Thinking about, like, what the heck's going on in there? What are they talking about? Like, should I go home and get him some food? And then they finally came and said, you know, we're holding him. He's being charged.
Raymond Landlord faces a first-degree murder charge and is being tried as an adult. In an affidavit filed with the court, Alaska State Trooper Todd Mayring writes that Raymond confessed to killing the victim in a home invasion that went bad. Anna didn't know about any of this until she read it on the news. She says she couldn't leave her house for days. She couldn't stop thinking about the crime scene or what was happening to Raymond.
I suffered really bad PTSD after that. The images and the smells and some really graphic images that are implanted in my brain, I can't get rid of it, but I tried to bury it.
Anna never got any treatment for this. The Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation sent a behavioral health specialist to Mountain Village for a week to help community members cope with the homicide, but Anna was too busy dispatching police calls. Anna's convinced that Raymond's innocent, and while she's obviously biased, there are some serious problems with the state's case against him. It was a few weeks after the arrest that Anna came down with pneumonia and was flown to Bethel's hospital for treatment. While she was in the ER, she got a call from the troopers.
And then that's when they had informed me about John, that they had picked him up and arrested him.
VPO John Hunter, Anna's partner at the time, was the officer watching over the victim's body, and troopers claim he tampered with the crime scene. Hunter is charged with stealing a cell phone from the victim's body, and he's awaiting trial in Bethel. In her short time as a police officer, Anna had 7 different partners, and Hunter is one of 2 of them who were later charged with crimes. Anna continued working as a village police officer for a few more months after all of this happened, but the homicide weighed on her, and the job just kept getting worse. An intoxicated man injured her knee this summer when he was resisting arrest. Anna kept trying to work while she was hurt, and for a few weeks, she was Mountain Village's only police officer. Then she says workman's comp penalized her for working. By August, she says, it was a job she literally couldn't afford to do anymore. Anna's PTSD is still untreated. As Mountain Village's first responder, she watched her friends and neighbors struggle to get the mental health care they needed. Now, she can't get it either.
There's times where my temper is really bad, and I'm lashing out at the people that love me the most because I'm more comfortable around them and I can vent to them, but I'm venting to them the wrong way because I'm so built up inside about stuff that I've seen that I can't tell them. Even though I want to.
Anna's undergoing surgery on her knee later this year. Depending on her recovery, she's considering rejoining the Village Police Department. In spite of everything that's happened, she says she just misses her job too much. In the meantime, Mountain Village is searching for more village and tribal police officers. They had one for a few weeks in July, but she quit before school started. The stress was just too much. In Mountain Village, I'm Teresa Katsourilis.
That was the final story in KYUK's series on suicide and treatment in Mountain Village. You can find more of their reporting at kyuk.org. And if you or one of your loved ones is struggling with suicidal thoughts, please call the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255 or call USAFE at 581-1500. Tonight, on Alaskans Against Sexual Assault and Family Violence is hosting its annual Make a Difference Dinner for suicide prevention and awareness. The free community event is billed as an evening of sharing and inspiration. It starts at 6 p.m. at the high school. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.